afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duvernay, your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, in Montecito's Upper Village, at Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Well, happy Monday, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Have you found that socially people more than usual are asking you what's going on in the stock market? I'm finding people saying, is the world going to come to an end in a social setting? People seem to be getting a little bit concerned about the frothy market.
You know, it's one of those things where new highs happen all the time. And so Friday was a new high. And with that, most people put on their bear hat and think, well, it's what goes up has to come down.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really scary when about 3 hours ago, I saw a post on the Wall Street Journal that there were some celebrity discussion of Dogecoin.
Hey, everybody.
It's probably the best investment, and it went up dramatically. And, you know, Dogecoin was started as a joke, and yet there are sophisticated investors now buying it, and it's going up, and people are making a lot of money. So I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think what it is it's a byproduct of having so much cash available in the market through stimulus, and people have more cash on hand than they know what to do with. And when that happens, we have not only the stock market but the real estate market going up precipitously. You know, nationwide, there's been a 35% year-over-year growth in prices in the real estate market. Now, those of us in Santa Barbara kind of scoff at that, but Santa Barbara from 2020 to 2021, the median home price rose 82%. That is unprecedented. And so much of that is due to the amount of cash that's circulating in the economy. And when there is that much cash in the economy, you're seeing all boats rise with the tide.
So should we continue talking because we don't have a guest, or do we have a guest?
We do. We are thrilled to have with us today my friend, Julie Farrell. She's the founder of Plan Hero, and I'm excited to hear all about it.
So our first article today is by someone who I think is one of the smartest financial writers in the New York Times, Neil Irwin. And the article begins by saying, if you're saving money for the future, one way or another, you had best be prepared to lose some of it. That's the implication of today's upside-down world in the financial markets. The combination of high inflation, strong economic growth, and very low interest rates have meant that real interest rates, what you earn after your money, what you earn on your money after accounting for inflation, are lower than they've been in modern times. And, you know, you've got a situation now where, for example, five-year Treasury inflation protection bonds, TIPS, have a negative 1.83% yield. And yet, with all of this, you've got a combination of the stock market still going up. And this article basically keeps quoting people who are very smart, saying, one of them said, this is surreal. This is one of those periods of time when the fundamentals are completely detached from reality. Where real rates are today makes no sense relative to the reality that we live in. And, you know, people are scratching their heads. There's a couple of other articles, which I won't go into, and it all has the same theme that experts are saying they really don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think when you see the headlines out there, and if the main lead headline is inflation, you're going to see market decline. If the lead headline is stimulus, you're going to see it keep going up. And so, you know, the fundamentals, it's expensive. Everything is expensive to buy right now.
And this sort of ties in with the article that appeared in Saturday's Wall Street Journal entitled, Messing Up is Easy, Admitting It is Hard. Investing should be about seeing the future. That's hard to do when you're willfully blind. And this article is focused on a book called The Cult of WeWork, which is about what happened with the debacle of WeWork. And it is essentially talking about how some of the most sophisticated investors in the world did nothing about the problems that WeWork was happening and just kind of ignored it. And the article's basic theme is that there's a psychology that takes place when you own something. You have an investment, not just in the asset, but you have an investment in being right. And there's a study that they talk about where they ask students to say how much they would pay for a coffee mug. And if people had to pay for the mug, the average offer was $2.87. If people could choose either the mug or cash, the price was $3.12. But if people already had been given that mug, the price went to $7.12. And what the lesson here is, says this behavioral economist at the University of Chicago, which he calls the endowment effect, is that the value you place on an asset will differ drastically depending on whether or not you already own it. And once you own something, you tend to not want to be in a position where you're wrong. And sometimes what happens is, and the quote they use here is kind of funny, investors are more afraid of being an idiot than they are of losing money. And they don't want to be in a position where they sell something too quickly. And so, you know, this is the old story wrapped in a new package about how difficult it is to admit that you're wrong and how basically, psychologically, once you own something, you tend to stick to it.
You have a confirmation bias, which many people have. And part of what you want to do when you're investing is taking stock in what you own and making sure that it's something that's going to last over time, because there will always be market gyrations, whether it be up or down. And you want to make sure that you're in it for the long haul, that you're not a gambler, because investing for the long term is very different than timing the market on the ups and downs.
This next article surprised me. It's entitled Weak Oversight Plagues Audits of Billions in Private Assets. And I was not aware that while the AICPA is the regulatory body for CPAs that are auditing public companies, there is no oversight of a CPA auditing a private institution. And this study, which was a study by the Wall Street Journal, it was a massive study. They looked at a huge, I can't find the number right now, a huge number of firms that are private. And they found that while the peer review system, and that's what they rely on rather than the government, one auditor will look at another auditor and judge whether they're good or not. Well, almost everyone got a great grade from a peer auditing. They found a third of the audits were deficient. And there is no regulation for it. That is, it's all done by the one firm who's going to get audited by that firm is auditing the other firm. More than a third of a sample of the audits of pension funds and other employee benefit plans were found to have major deficiencies in a Department of Labor report. And so whether you're on the board of a not-for-profit or a pension fund or anything that's not public, you need to be cognizant of the fact that your auditor is only going to be subject to review by other auditors doing the same thing.
Right. And with the rise in private equity, as more and more investors, retail investors, become able to invest in those type of investments, it's important for you to understand that that is one of the risks that you encounter.
You know, we've talked about ESG, you know, environmentally
social
investing. And there's a new metric that's being talked about now, and that is output rather than just looking at, you know, like a fuel company, an oil company. So, for example, Coca-Cola is reporting that it creates 346 grams of carbon dioxide emissions for each liter of Coke, which is less than half of the tree to toilet paper, which produces 771 grams of carbon footprint. So what we're seeing now is a deeper dive into whether a company is environmentally correct. It's not just a concept of, they don't do bad things. It's that what actually do they do that actually infects the environment? And there's more and more talk that these deep dives into what the companies do when they do their production is going to be, more and more highlighted in what people look at as ESG investments. And the final article that I have is just a quick note here that in today's Wall Street Journal about how some of the Bitcoin companies have got together and hired lobbying companies to fight the provision in the capital improvement bill that was just passed, the infrastructure bill, because in that bill there is provisions to tax Bitcoin transactions. And, we think of these Bitcoin people as just speculators and kids run amok, but they're now getting serious about not wanting to pay taxes. And there is legislation now, obviously, that is going to consider toughening up legislation to make sure that people pay taxes on their Bitcoin, just like they pay taxes on any other investment.
Which makes sense, as with the rise of cryptocurrency, whether it's Bitcoin, Dogecoin, or whatever the next coin may be, it's important that there are regulations in place so that people are paying taxes on their gains and getting the benefits of their losses.
Will you tell me when I start buying Bitcoin that I have to put myself in isolation? Will you, it's like, thank you. I appreciate it. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner.
And we can be reached at 805-563-1290, or you can email us at money Oh, I'm sorry, I got the number wrong. It's 805-564-1290. Or you can email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So if you're just joining us, we have the pleasure of having Julie Farrell, who's the founder of Plan Hero, with us today. Julie, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
So tell us, what is Plan Hero and what problem when you started it were you trying to solve for?
Sure. So Plan Hero is a software platform that helps make group organizing super simple. So what does that mean? if you are trying to organize any kind of a group, whether it's a sports team or whether it's a nonprofit group or, you know, a group at your school of volunteers, a group at your church or your synagogue, or even a group at work for community outreach, then you would use us to get signups for people to sign up for various time spots or jobs. And we would get them all signed up for you and send out reminders. And we make that group organizing super easy. So no more group emails, no more group texts, you know, where people hit reply all and you're sitting there wondering why you need to know that Jenny's bringing brownies. That's basically it.
So, I mean,
Go ahead.
So what made you think that this was a problem that needed to be solved? I'm assuming that knowing you, that you were very involved in your kids' lives and therefore had way too many emails and group texts going on.
Right. Yeah. It was born out of irritation. So my background's in tech, and then when we started having children, I chose to stay at home with the kids. So yes, I was deeply involved from a volunteer perspective, and ended up being on a number of nonprofit boards as well, including a 4-year stint on the school board. So I was very involved, you know, sort of from a leadership perspective, typically, with organizing volunteers and organizing the things in my kids' lives, and just found that, the tools that we had access to as, in the workplace weren't really there for us as volunteers, or sort of in that nonprofit segment. So, In sort of doing the due diligence is like, I mean, I was speaking to my husband, I'm like, there should be an app for this, right? Right. That's what everybody says. There should be an app for this. Isn't there an app for that? And so I did doing the due diligence before we started, realized that there were some things out there, but they were either kind of clunky and old or just too complicated for sort of the general user. So that was the problem to solve, was making it really simple to do group organizing.
Does this tie into your calendar, your computerized calendar? So once you make an appointment, it goes on your calendar? And the second part of that question is, will it also look at your calendar? Will it let you look at someone's calendar to see if they can make it without them having to respond?
Yes and no, in that order. Mm-hmm. On the first part, when you sign up for something, then you can choose to sync it to your calendar. So that takes care of that as far as putting whatever you signed up for onto your own calendar. And then we offer the ability to have up to 2 reminder emails, and you can choose to receive those via text as well. With regard to looking for availability on someone else's calendar from us looking out, we do not do that. Good question, though. We have the organizer. The organizer needs these kinds of spots filled. So the organizer then creates that sign up and sends out a link to people either via email, via our platform, or via social media, like pasting on Facebook or pasting on Instagram. Facebook would be easier there. And then people sign up. So it's a little more external. They're checking their own calendars and deciding to sign up. Does that make sense? I mean, as far as what direction it goes.
Yes. And so you said your background was in technology and you had both engineering and marketing experience. Uh-huh. How did those 2 skills, which are super helpful in almost anything that people create, how did those skills help you, you know, starting Plan Hero?
Yeah, that's a good question. They helped a lot. So, I mean, engineering really is just critical thinking and problem solving. So, I mean, plus some math and science involved there too, but, it's the fundamentals are really problem solving and critical thinking. So here's the problem. How do we solve it? And, my experience on the tech side was really good because I was, on the management side of things and project management. So that allowed me to really work well with the team and know what everybody needed to do in order for us to get to the end result. And then I know enough tech-wise to be dangerous enough to know what's going on. I don't code. I took Fortran back in the dark ages when that was a thing in college. And so we had folks doing the programming for us, our design and development crew, who were terrific. So that was something I couldn't do, but I understood the process enough to be able to be well engaged in it. From the marketing standpoint, again, it's the ability to talk to customers and understand what they want and what they need, and then getting that message out to them about what we now have and that they need it to present the problem and show the solution at the same time. So it was nice to have that combination of things, you know, when you're starting things up, because it's, you know, not always easy to get people to work for nothing. So, which is what happens in a startup.
And so who is Planned Hero's target market?
So initially we really started out B2C, so business to consumer, and we really saw our target, customer as, typically female and definitely male as well. But statistically, when we started, it was still more females doing, volunteering, ages 35 to 54. So, and with school age kids, because they're the ones that, if you look at the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, are the ones who volunteer the most. So that was really what we started with. Our actual first name was Mom Clone. And the idea was to really resonate with that group and say, hey, you know, I'm so busy, I need to clone myself. And then the idea was to have this platform where you could get all that stuff done in one sitting with tools that all look similarly, and you don't have to learn this one and then learn that one and then learn that one for, you know, your faith group, for your school group, for your work group, etc., that you could have a similar experience and you don't have to relearn stuff. So that was the original target. But as we grew, we quickly saw that there were some really great applications within a little more formal setting, on the B2B side. So, and B, I'm also including, you know, nonprofits, NGOs in that. So if you were the executive director, for example, of a theater group or a small, you know, community theater, those guys use volunteers all the time for the various shows. So they needed signups for the different, jobs that need to be done for each show. And they said, hey, we love your software, but my board of directors is not going to go with Mom Clone for this. It's not a good name. So anyway, we ended up pivoting sooner than we thought we would to a name that we felt was more approachable for the mom, dad, you know, parent person, you know, but not off-putting for the business application. So
yeah, you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Santa Barbara Foresters baseball is on the air, and it's Championship Saturday. The Santa Barbara Foresters with a chance at an NBC World Series championship. The Stirs are a strike away. One ball, two strike pitch on the way, and it swung on and popped up. Max McGuire makes the catch, and the Santa Barbara Foresters are the 2021 NBC World Series champions.
When a bank is owned by the community and invests in the community, it answers to a different call. It's personal. It's driven by your needs, not ours. Welcome to American Riviera Bank, based right here in Santa Barbara with branches in Montecito and Goleta. Our customers know us for personal service every day, every way.
You can bank on us.
Bank on us.
Bank on us!
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
Hospice of Santa Barbara is there to help when we're adjusting to living with a life-threatening illness, facing death, anticipating the death of a loved one, or healing our grief after a death. Hospice of Santa Barbara can provide the emotional, social, and spiritual care needed in a supportive, compassionate environment. Hospice of Santa Barbara provides professional counseling for individuals and has many support groups and programs for adults, teens, and children. Services are free, made possible by our community's generosity and by all of the highly trained, wonderful volunteers that give of their time to help those in need. If you would like to make a donation, become a volunteer, or support the important work of Hospice of Santa Barbara, or find out more about hospice services for you or someone you love, please call 563-8820, 563-8820, or visit our website at www.hospiceofsantabarbara.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Julie, on the break, we were talking about the concept of the ESG, and you said that Plan Hero also has some application there. So will you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a wonderful thing, which is, if you go on websites for almost any, mid to large size corporation, you will see that they've got a social responsibility tab somewhere in the footer or social impact. And so that kind of ties into the ESG piece of, investors are looking for companies that want to do good and are doing, quote, good out there in the world. And then people want to work for companies that quote, do good also. So we're seeing a lot of companies using us for things like external signups for what they're doing for community outreach. So maybe they're going to clean the park, in 2 weeks. So they need people every 2 hours to do, four different jobs. And so people can sign up for what works for them, whether it's picking up trash or, painting a shed or trimming trees or planting flower beds or whatever it is, people can sign up for those things. And then the company can see, how many hours their folks have donated to the community by these efforts. So that's another, really good use for what we're doing.
Right. And in every annual report, you have a section about, what the company is doing and how many, and they're always tracking hours of
exactly
doing good, exactly. So to speak.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now let's switch gears for a minute. What is the revenue model for Plan Hero? It's a subscription based. So if I'm an employer, I would sign up and I would pay a monthly fee based upon what services I use. Is it a tiered level or is it a one level and everyone pays the same?
So currently it's one level and everybody pays the same. So anybody who's listening, now's your opportunity to really take advantage of us. we will be moving towards an enterprise model as we grow, but that of course is more development, more money. So right now it's a single flat platform and you can have as many events as you need, meaning signups as you need, with our club tool, which would be something you would use to manage a 4-H group or a Rotary club, a Girl Scout group, Boy Scout group, anything like that. Weeblos. You could have as many of those clubs as you want, and churches use this for their small groups as well. So yes, it's a monthly fee. There's also an annual option for subscription, which saves you 2 months so instead of paying for 12 months, you're paying really for 10 months. And then we also have what we call collect money lists, which going back to, the school model or something, or let's go back to a sports model. If you have a team and you're trying to, there's always the team parent who gets stuck buying all the sweats for the kids. And then they have to run around and get the check from each parent or have them Venmo or whatever. You can actually just have them pay for it on the, through our app. And so there's a fee that we collect for collecting money as well, per transaction, and then a percentage of the total amount. So
how do you deal with a typical not-for-profit when they run into economic problem? They tend to look at things that they think are discretionary. Mm-hmm. And I would think that in a period of difficult economic times, this would be one of the things that they would think of as not necessary. Did you find that during the economic downturn?
You are the master of the yes and no questions. So I'm going to say yes, comma, no. So Neil, you make an excellent point, and I've been on nonprofit boards, continue to be on them. And of course, budget is critical. So what we found at the beginning of the pandemic was, yes, we had a number of people who unsubscribed, but they unsubscribed not so much because they saw us as discretionary, but because they literally could not use us during the pandemic. When everything shut down, they couldn't organize a fundraiser, right? They couldn't, because that's an event with lots of people in it. They couldn't have volunteers coming in because their whole, shelter was shut down or whatever it was. Everything was shut down. So they weren't able to do those things. So that was really why they unsubscribed. And that's why I'm saying yes and no. We are literally $9 or $12 a month. So they don't really see us as a large item on the budget. It's sort of, it's less than a rounding error for most of them. It's two trips to Starbucks a month to pay for us. And so that's why I'm saying yes and no, because the efficiency that we give to them means that somebody can do a lot more in their job than they could do before because of the time that we're saving them. So in terms of that, it sort of becomes non-discretionary at that point, if that makes sense.
So one of the things that a lot of the startups that were involved in, trying to help people with interesting apps that provided convenience and effectiveness, also mine data. They also took a look at the data and said, how can we use this to increase our monetization of our product, but also how we could expand our product. So is there information you get as the holder of all this scheduling that provides you with that kind of opportunity?
Not currently. We will eventually, as we grow, we will segment what we have coming in better so that we can go back out and do things like sponsored posts and sponsored newsletters, sponsored emails. We're not fond of the advertising model. We kind of feel like What our basic outlook is we want to be treated the way we want to treat us the way we're being treated. So our whole outlook is we don't like seeing ads on our stuff that we're reading. It's irritating to have things flashing. So we're not going to do that to you as a customer. That's probably answered only half of your question.
So in terms of that, many of your competitors do use advertising as an additional revenue source. What would you say, because you are giving up additional revenue by not having an advertising model. So how do you plan to offset that lost revenue, basically?
Increase volume, because we actually see it as a cudgel. We're using it to beat our competition with the notion that you cannot control what those ads are on with your name and your letterhead on it. So I did a test recently. We do a lot of 24-hour prayers for folks where they sign up and everybody's praying for an hour or half hour. So we do that with a lot of faith-based people. And so I did a test with one of my competitors and a test with ours on Plan Hero, right? So to see what it looked like on our phone. Well, mine had a big ad for belly fat on it. Now, if you're it's all based on what you've recently researched, right? So I sort of chummed it a little bit and looked up, you know, lose fat or lose weight just to see if I'd get that ad to come up. But if you're praying for someone that, you know, is who is in a terrible situation and you're getting this from, you know, your church and it's saying, you know, please pray for Pat through this process. And then there's a big ad for belly fat on the bottom of it. It's a pretty distasteful way, I think, to ask for help from folks. So we kind of look at that as a means of setting ourselves apart, differentiating.
Well, we have to take a break, but we have no belly fat ads, only really good sponsors. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a Labish Terrier-Hound-Chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The evening breeze caressed the trees tenderly.
The Ensemble Theater Company kicks off their new season with a show called Tenderly, the Rosemary Clooney musical. Here's artistic director Jonathan Fox.
Well, we're starting with a bio musical about Rosemary Clooney called Tenderly. It is a two-person musical, and it's a three-piece band on stage. It's fun, but it has a little bit of darkness to it because Rosemary's life had some issues. So we're starting with Tenderly. Information is on our website at ETC, as an ensemble theater company, ETCSB, as in Santa Barbara, or by calling us at 805-965-5400.
To get your tickets for Tenderly, the Rosemary Clooney musical, and to see what else is in store for the Ensemble Theater Company season, go to etcsb.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology. Mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
So, Julie, you started Plan Hero in 2017. Is that right?
Yep.
And so share with our listeners, what were some of the major challenges or obstacles that you faced while getting this off the ground? I've got to imagine funding to get the development started was, you know, maybe not an obstacle, but definitely a hurdle that you had to overcome.
Yeah. So when you get started with something like this, you want to create an MVP, which is not the most valuable player. It's the minimum viable product. And so my husband and I kind of talked about what we wanted to do, talked about this idea, you know, and kind of finally did enough research and decided, okay, this is a good idea. And then we agreed on what we thought we could, you know, spend on it to get the MVP going. Yeah. So we, and I had a team that I worked with overseas for the previous like 6 years, which is helpful because it was less expensive. And also I had great faith in them. So I already knew a group with whom I could work. And I knew that the pricing was going to be better than what I could do locally. And I know that sounds terrible, but you only have X number of funds. So that's what we did. And that worked out well. And then we quickly learned that we were going to need a much bigger investment to move past the MVP. So we did a friends and family round on that. And that was successful. And that was wrapped up probably 2018. toward the end of it. And now we're actually having another friends and family round right now. So
oh, you mentioned your husband. So are you working with him with this?
No, but we
he's have been married. Unofficial advisor.
Yeah, he's my biggest investor. So no, I mean, it was just when I say that, you know, we make decisions, our financial decisions together. So in terms of whatever our investments are, and this was an investment for both of us, it just happened to be that I was at the head of this investment.
No, the reason I ask is that it's always interesting to see how when husband and wives work together, particularly as a startup, how it affects their non-working lives.
Yeah, no. In answer to your question, Neil, that is a firm no. It wasn't a yes, comma no. It's, we do not work together, but he is a great sounding board. He has his own profession, and he's a great sounding board. Though we definitely use each other to bounce ideas off of and make sure that we're sane with what we're doing.
So you said you needed to, you know, get up to speed. How do you go about getting clients? Do you advertise? Is it all personal contact? How does marketing work for you?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting when we started out. I was so the little interim between my first career and then being a volunteer and then starting Planned Hero, I actually started doing some digital marketing consulting back in 2010. So for some small businesses. So I had a pretty good idea of kind of the digital space for marketing. So our main area is definitely Google Ads. And what I was going to say there was that I was very excited about Facebook ads coming into it because you can target so well. And also our age demographic was there. We quickly found that the Google ads were much better for us in terms of conversions because we really needed those people who had a current, instant, immediate problem that they needed to solve. Like, I need signups for this. I need signup tool for this, digital signup sheet for that or whatever. So that was, or, you know, volunteer management, those kinds of things that people would plop into Google. Then when we served our ad, that's when we have the most conversions. So that's really our primary means of, that's our favorite means of marketing. We'll be expanding out on that with this next round quite a bit.
And do you find with your faith-based groups and your nonprofits, do you find that a volunteer usually pays for it for the first year so that the organization can feel comfortable with it? Or is it usually being paid for as a line item on the school or other nonprofits' budget?
You know, it really varies. That's a good question that I don't think anyone's ever asked me. And I would say it's probably a 50-50 shot. It may be that it starts getting used by someone and they just pay for it. I mean, that's actually come up fairly recently on some things. I was just thinking we've got a Corvette club that somebody's involved in and it's crazy for them to manage it the way they're doing it. So they're using our club tool for that. So one person's just underwriting the whole thing. And it's not a huge thing. I mean, it's $120 a year if you pay for it annually. So, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to demean the value of $180 or $120. It's hard to raise money for nonprofits. I get that. Yeah, I'd say it's kind of 50-50. It just depends on whether it starts within the organization using it or whether it starts external to that by a volunteer.
And so after almost 4 years, are you reaching a point of profitability in the company, or are you still in that, you know, as most people know, it's 7 years before most companies are profitable. And at the 7-year mark is usually where people either roll it up, put it away on the shelf, or, you know, it starts to really take traction and you are in such an early phase. What do you see? How long do you see before that road to profitability can happen?
We've got a little ways to go still. Yeah. We aren't there yet. We have, our costs are really low, which is great. We've got a really good product, which means we're not dealing with a bunch of bugs all the time. We're not dealing with a bunch of support issues all the time. it's pretty straightforward. So we're not having to hold hands too much in terms of clients. So, you know, all of that sort of heavy human labor that could be there, we don't have that issue. We've done some recent things. We just moved over to the Google Cloud, which is saving us, that's saving us almost 70% on our database server costs as of like last month. So we're doing a lot of things, I think, smartly. But we've got a ways to go, you know, before we're profitable. And we also, you know, in order to sort of get down the roadmap the way we're planning to, we've got more development planned as well. So that always wreaks a little havoc with the bottom line. So,
right.
Yeah.
And so what are, if you can share with us, what is the next vision or the next phase for Plan Hero? It sounds like it's getting close.
Yeah. So, I mean, we really, how much of that do I want to share? we're going to be a lot more focused in the next 18 months on verticals rather than as horizontal as we've been to getting to this spot. So I guess that's the best way I could say it, really looking at narrower vertical markets, going forward. That'll allow us then to get to that enterprise level and really in a good informed way.
For those of us that are older, could you give us a definition of what you mean by vertical markets?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. Back to my husband, Neil. He gives me a really hard time for using jargon. So vertical, I mean, a vertical market would be like faith organizations or the social impact piece for the small and medium-sized businesses. Each of those would represent a vertical market where we can be much more targeted with our marketing than just sort of spraying it out there. So we could go to their trade shows, those kind or education's another one. So looking at those different vertical markets as individual sort of pillars of building out our more horizontal product.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
When a bank is owned by the community and invests in the community, it answers to a different call. It's personal. It's driven by your needs, not ours. Welcome to American Riviera Bank, based right here in Santa Barbara with branches in Montecito and Goleta. Our customers know us for personal service every day, every way.
You can bank on us.
Bank on us.
Bank on us!
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few, I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And so, Julie, during the break, we were talking about, you know, various competitors and how really your Plan Hero's main point is to make signing up easy without having to deal with the ads, of which you can't, as an organization, control what the person's seeing as an advertising. So let's talk a little bit about how many people you have working for you. So I was on poking around on your website, and I do see that there are three of you listed. And are you all, or are you located remotely, or is everybody in a office in Santa Barbara, or how does that work?
Everybody's remote. Like, everybody on our team's remote, which is one of the great things. The pandemic, the one good thing about the pandemic has really reinforced that that's okay. And that whole process has gotten better. So that's, again, kind of going back to the costs you were talking about in profitability, not having to pay for bricks and mortar, you know, in your startup stage is fantastic. And we can always get together as needed, whether it's on Zoom or whether it's in, you know, an office building. I mean, speaking to, you know, Neil brought up WeWork earlier, that whole debacle, but, you know, there's liquid space. There's all kinds of things like that that can be used as needed. But no, we're remote. And I think you'll find that a lot of the SaaS, software as a service companies, are operating much more this way. And I imagine I also that you're acutely aware of, you know, this whole discussion about what's going to happen as we all go back to, you know, quote, normalcy, which is having a hiccup right now. But I mean, my kids aren't back to their jobs in person still. So anyway, that was a super long-winded answer to your question.
And so on your staff, do you each have different, you know, verticals that you're responsible for? So different things. How do you divide up the workload?
Yeah, pretty much, one person's much more project oriented, one's much more on the content side. And then we've got an intern who helps on the, customer, success side. And then we've got our design and development team, and that's all pretty clear. And a project, manager on that side as well.
So your customer support is a person on your staff. Like if I'm a client and I call up and say, hey, I have a problem.
Yeah. You're going to get a human. Yeah. Yeah. You'll get a human. And if you don't get a human right away, you'll get a call or an email back really quickly. Like I would say within an hour or less typically.
And that's really important because I know that there are lots of organizations out there, which may be bigger, that are trying to fill this niche, that isn't the case with the customer support piece, which I think is really important. As you have nonprofits and schools, you know, using tools, that there's some piece of support for you. So
definitely.
So now, how would you, as we talked about the pandemic briefly, how would you say, do you think it hurt or helped your business?
Yeah. This would be a Neil yes and no again.
Oh, you know what? In all fairness, it's not going to be a yes or no because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
But I just like to tell all our listeners from all of the many not-for-profits in this town that this is something that will make your life easier. And we're talking about $8 or $9 a month to successfully manage your volunteer work. So thank you, Julie Farrell. The name of the company is Plan Hero. Google it, and we would recommend it. And thanks for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you all next week.
It's